Get your Bibles open and let's open it. If you're able at all, see if you can find the book of Genesis, all right? It's two pages beyond contents, if that'll help you, all right? The book of Genesis, what's the word mean?
Beginning.
Beginning of what? Speak loud. What? Beginning of what? Oh, everything. And then once we say everything, what else? Anybody want to be more specific? What's in the beginning of? Beginning of life. Beginning of what? Creation. Beginning of? Man. Beginning of? Anybody want to say woman? Just so we can do a... Beginning of what?
Plan of redemption.
Whole scheme of redemption. Beginning of what?
The order
of God. I think that was the adjective. Okay, what else?
Universe.
Beginning of the universe. Beginning of absolutely everything. And when we get to chapter 11, what's in chapter 11? If I say babble, if I'm babbling, will that help you understand when I say babble, babbling? What's at the beginning of? Beginning of languages and everything. Here's an amazing thing, you know. Cavemen used to talk in one syllables. I don't know if you know if you're aware of that or not, but they only had one word in their vocabulary, and that was ugh. And so the whole concept is the farther back you go, the more primitive language becomes. When the exact opposite is true. You know, Greek has, you know, 10 or 12 tenses in it. English has, we really only use about 3 tenses. Isn't that amazing? You stop and think about it. Here's the caveman, and one of them says, ugh. His mate says, or the person in the cave with him says, ugh. That's all they got. First guy says, ugh. Second guy says, ugh. First guy says, ugh. Second guy says, no. The second guy says, ugh, ugh. And the first guy says, quit changing the topics. And here's the reality. Where does language come from? And we answer those questions on first Sunday night. And one of the questions that we'll probably answer again, because it looks like some young person asked the question, Adam named the animals. Do we have the same name of those animals? And the only way you'd know that is to know what language Adam and Eve spoke. Ever think about that? Isn't that amazing? We don't have a clue what language was spoken in the Garden of Eden. That is remarkable in and of, maybe I did answer that. Maybe we don't have a clue what language was spoken in the Garden of Eden. Obviously, we think it's English. I mean, all we got to do is go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Can you quote Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? That is great, but the answer should have been yes or no. You see, I mean, I know how women communicate, but men don't want the complex answer. Can you quote Genesis 1, verse 1? See, now then, I didn't say prove that. I didn't say quote it. Now I'm going to say, let's quote Genesis 1:1 together. In the beginning, God created the... did you put an S on heavens or not? Or should you? Huh? Should you have put an S on it? Sometimes it depends on the translation. And the reason for that is the Jews viewed heaven as having how many parts? 3 parts. Paul says, I know a man who was caught up into which heaven? Into the third heaven. And so you've got that situation that he was caught up into the third heaven. Now that has to do with the Jewish concept of it. It wasn't... And in Genesis chapter 1, we'll read about the other two heavens. Can you see the word heavens found anywhere else in Genesis chapter 1? Look down about the middle of it. Look down about the 5th day and back up 2 or 3 verses. Look in the 4th day. What's that, about verse 10, 11, or 12? 9, 4th day. He made two what?
Lights.
2 lights. Where do you put them? Does it say heaven? Yeah, you put them in the heaven. Look to day 5. Look at the next day. What do you do about the birds? Anything about heaven, the birds? You found a verse? Anybody found the verse? That's not a yes or no. What verse tells about the birds flying somewhere in the heavens? Surely they're that. What? 20, verse 20. And so here's the heavens. There's the heavens where the bird flies. There's the heavens where the sun, moon, and stars are. And then there's the third heaven where God is. And so in the beginning, God created what? Heavens and the earth. Yes, yes. Talk loud. Yes. Well, and that's an amazing thing. You folks on the end, just let these folks walk in. Either that's, what do they say in Disney? Everybody slide toward the middle or whatever. We got folks that are coming in, so let's make it easy for latecomers to, and they'll get your end seats. Time out. We're going to stop this class at 5 minutes still so we can get your seats. We don't want anybody to lose their seats. And so, Ivan, if you're on the bell over there, you shout at 6 minutes, okay? You shout out 6 minutes loud enough for me to hear it, and then we'll be able to stop that in 1 minute. We'll just try to bring an end to it. But that's the whole design of this, is to try to have a class situation. Now, you know, Dave said about Adam, all of a sudden he's hearing God speak. It's like a child not understanding how good Krispy Kreme donuts taste. You understand that? When he gets here, all of the donuts are here, and all of a sudden you put it in his mouth, and he doesn't know how special that taste is because he's never had liver before. And there's sort of two extremes in my head between... And so the world that he was born in, created in, is the same world a little child is in. Sometimes I talk about my kindergarten mind. Every night I got back to my baby in the womb mind and everything. It was that way whenever I got here. I mean, he never heard a bird sing. He never saw a sunrise. He never saw any of this. It was all that way. And it's just like, here's Rip Van Winkle wakes up, and if he didn't have that memory of what the world was like 20 years before, he walks into this world, and that's what the world looks like. It has no knowledge of that. We'd stand in amazement to hear the voice of God and everything that's involved in. Now then, you're dealing with an atheist. How are you going to deal with an atheist? We're not going to spend much time at all in this, but here is that individual who is an unbeliever. Probably the least impactful way to prove the existence of God is to say the Bible says God exists. Why? What's wrong with that? Why would you not say to an atheist, the Bible, there's a God because the Bible tells about God? It's what?
No authority.
No authority. That's a good word, right? No authority. He's not going to believe the Bible. Has no belief at all of the Bible. And so to say, well, the Bible says there's a God. Yes, and children's storybooks, which is the way sometimes he looks at the Bible, talks about Santa Claus, you see, and in his mind, that's where he's coming from. But Genesis chapter 1 does proclaim the existence of God. Let me start a verse and you finish. The heavens declare, let's say it together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows what? His handiwork. That's Psalms 19. I want you to understand that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth and the heavens is a non-biblical proof of the existence of God. You've got to understand that. Would a man believe in God if he didn't have a Bible? I'm getting a yes, and I'm getting no's. Would a man believe in a God if he didn't have the Bible? He would, wouldn't he? Stop and think about the fact that there's no place on earth except where there's been education that atheists are found. Isn't that remarkable? You look at every culture there is. There was a statement about a few years ago, a statement about they found was it in the Philippines? Somebody helped me, National Geographic, 25 years ago, a tribe of people there back in the jungles that did not believe in God. Turned out as a matter of fiction. Isn't that remarkable that there's that kind of thing? Just like was revealed this week about that little boy that died, went to heaven. Did you read about that little boy that died, went to heaven? And wrote about what the experience was like. 6 or 7 year old boy made the news, what, a year, 18 months ago, something like that. And all of a sudden, he said, I made up that entire story. People will remember the book that was published because sold a lot of books, talked about by a lot of folks. You need to be aware of it because your friend's going to talk about it. He said, I made that up. I wanted attention. Here is that kind of thing. And you and I need to understand. Here's this tribe out in the, I don't think it was in the Amazon. For some reason, I think it was in the Philippines, and I cannot imagine, thinking as civilized as the Philippines must be, that they would have discovered them there. Everybody believes in God. Why? Well, if I ask you the second step in the 12-step program, this doesn't mean that you've been there. But in the second step in the 12-step program, the first one is, I am an alcoholic. What's the second one? There's a higher power. Why does every culture on this earth believe in a higher power? Here, the heavens declare the glory of God. Look in Romans chapter 1. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, talks about a time when men did not know God. And a little bit later, if you study the book in detail, he's really talking about the Gentile world in Romans chapter 1. But he says, verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. Do you have a marginal reading on the word in? Have a center column reference? Anybody have? New King James has it. The New American Standard may say it that way. What? Okay. What? Do you have a marginal reading? That which is manifest in them. Manifest how? Among them. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, and by that it means in their midst, among them. What may be known of God? He says, for since the creation of the world, where do we read about that in the Bible? Genesis chapter 1, right? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. For because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them, because since the creation of the world, His, capital H, recognized caps are put in there by translators, but it's obvious you're talking about deity. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. What's that say? Sometimes we just read words. We're not hearing. Since the world was created, God's invisible attributes are vaguely seen. Is that what it said? No. They are attributes of God that from the very creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Two invisible attributes of God. What are they? Look at the text. His what? His eternal power and Godhead. Deity. By the creation of the world, there's a manifestation of His invisible attributes. What are they? Power. What? Who do the Greeks worship? Greek gods. You had a god of what? Everything. Okay, I love that answer, everything. Okay. You're never allowed to answer another question if you're using the word everything. What kind of gods did the Greeks have? Had a god of what? What? God of love? What else? Did somebody say war? Thunder? Lightning? Neptune? What are the gods are? Gods of nature. You know, the sun god, the moon god. What is the English name of today? What's the name of this day of the week? Sunday. It is Sun's Day. What about tomorrow? Moon's Day. That remarkable? Thor's Day. Saturn's Day. Isn't that really remarkable? The names of our week are a reflection of the worship of deity. And so the names of the week reflect the fact that there is a sun that's in charge, and there's a moon that's in charge, and they are all of these things. And so they look up and they see this unbelievable power. I don't have this kind of power. I didn't make the sun rise this morning. I don't have this kind of power. And so they've got to create a God. Because power is manifested by the creation. And deity, Godheadness. Does the old King James have the word Godhood there by any chance? I'm not sure if it has. I'm not sure exactly. The word hood, what does it mean? Neighborhood has to do with what's happening among those neighbors that are there. And Godhood has to do with what's happening among God. If that makes sense. That's sort of the idea of Godhead. I think one translation had the word Godhood in relationship to this. Now that's important for us to have as an understanding. The world, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His what? His hands at work. Handiwork. Does it? Well, let's think about it. You see all these lights that are on the wall around here, just the ones under the eaves there. Do you know how they decided to put those lights there? They brought a 2-year-old kid and he ran through here with a paintball gun and he just shot up, and that's how they decided where to put those lights. Why are you shaking your head? No. They brought a blind electrician in here and just go in there and said, just take your pencil and anywhere you want to put a light, just go in there and mark it down there. Do you know how perfectly spaced those lights are? What does that say? Handiwork. The order that is in the universe. The design that is in the universe. You do not have random design. Now, you've heard me tell the story, and so I will abbreviate the story about this amazing watch that I have. My father was made watches. I don't know. Fred, did you know my dad was a watch repairman? But and he had a shoebox full of pieces, and he said, Dan, go throw these out in the back. And I was carrying them out to throw them out in the garbage can out in the back behind his office. And my big brother Jerry was walking in the same time I was walking out, and we smacked just like that. And you're not going to believe this, but those boxes of parts flew up in the air, and then I looked right beside my head, the back of this watch just landed right there. And you're not going to believe this, but every little wheel fell right in spot. I mean, you're not going to believe it, and every one of those wheels fell. And then the face of that watch fell on there. I was just amazed. All those little diamonds, you know, one of those fell in there in just the right spot. And you're not going to believe this, but the hands fell right in there. Just why? And then the top fell on this, and it's a calendar watch, and it got the right date. And I've never had to wind it a day since then. You're not going to believe that, are you? Question. Which is more complex? This or this world? What about this? How much intelligence is there? How much handiwork is there behind this? You know, you may not have You may not have a mini pad. Your computer is better than this mini pad. It can do things this mini pad can never. If this watch says a builder, if the mini pad says a builder, what about this body? What about this heart-lung machine? They've got one down here at the hospital. You know, big complex thing. What about this one that can repair itself? What about this microscope telescope called an eyeball? I mean, you stop and think about it. The handiwork of God. And that's why the book of Genesis is so on. So if you start talking to an atheist, you know, those are the kinds of way I would talk about it. By the way, could I just in passing talk about what Vera Day said to me after I talked about my watch? I love Vera, but Vera said, "Dan, if anybody other than you had told that story, I wouldn't have believed a word of it." So in case you're related to Vera, that did not happen. Vera thinks it did. It cannot. Do you hear that? It cannot happen. I doubt if any of you will remember when I was preaching in the old building where we was talking about the existence of God. And in the middle of my sermon, Jeff, you probably remember I had those columns down on each side. Instead of coming, the building was much narrower, and so the columns came down inside the auditorium. And I got my son Jonathan right at the appropriate time to stand up, and he had three tennis balls. And right at that point in my sermon, he was about halfway back. He stood up behind one of those columns, and he threw three tennis balls up at the pulpit. What's that all about? No movement without an initial starting of the movement. A tennis ball does not say, "I think I'll start bouncing somewhere." And all I said was, there wasn't a person in this room that thought, "Those tennis balls must have got tired sitting over there against the wall." They just jumped up and said, "I think I'll fly up there to the pulpit." You don't have movement. You don't have design. The other aspect of this, and I've spent longer on this than I meant to, and that is, if the universe existed with nothing in it, and I don't know how you'd have a universe with nothing in it, it's bigger than my head to even think about what is the universe itself. Let's put it in a mason jar with a lid on it. You know, when your mama used to do canning and everything, I don't know why they called it canning. They put it in glass, but when they used to do canning, suppose you had a mason jar and had absolutely nothing in it. You come back next week, what's going to be in it? Nothing. 10 years? 100 years? 1,000 years? 1,000,000 years? How old's the earth? 15 billion years? How old's the universe? Nothing. The Greek philosophers arrived at the conclusion, if there ever was a time when there was nothing, there would be nothing now. Now get it. You get from that little jar to the universe, the heavens. Tim, how many stars in a galaxy? Are you my astrologer? 300 or 400 million stars in a galaxy. Many of them much larger than our sun. How many galaxies? Unknown, but at least that same number. Maybe 100 million. What's 100 million times 300 million? Yeah. Isn't that remarkable? We run out of numbers. Only two possibilities. One is matter. molecules. Atoms. I've never seen molecules and atoms. What about mud? What's always existed? Mud. The other possibility is mind. I haven't said God. I've mentioned an attribute of the omniscience of God. Here's a ball of mud. And you came from a ball of mud? They're remarkable. And so don't be afraid to test your faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the initial creation of the earth, back to Genesis chapter 1, had no form. It was void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered, the one translation says, over the waters. And God said what? Let there be light. Question. Can you enlighten me as to what God made on the first day? Light. Can I ask it again? Can you enlighten me about what God made on the first day? Light. That's what it says. Now, you know, if you had asked Adam, where'd the world come from? You know what Adam would have said? Other than this woman, I don't have a clue. It was all here when I got here. That's a remarkable thought. There is a man who lived on this earth who was there when the world was created. Is that weird? There's a man who lived on this earth that was there when the world was created. Why are you looking at me so weirdly? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Jesus, you were there. Where'd He come from? Mark chapter 10, verse 4. The beginning of the creation. The only man who's lived on this earth who was there when the world was created. Said there was a beginning. And there was a creation, which gets us back to Genesis 1:1. That's where it came from. That's a matter of faith, but it is not this kind of faith. It's not, well, I just hope, you know, faith doesn't mean I run up to a cliff and I just jump and hope there's some landing spot on the other side. Faith is built on evidence, and there is evidence, there is God. And so, here's what it says. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. I have no idea visually what happened. Do you? Universally, He divided it. On the earth, He divided it. Probably more from the earth's perspective than anything else, a division of light and darkness. Well, wait a minute. And that's it? Yeah. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Jewish time. When does Jewish Sabbath begin? The evening, right? On the evening. And so they measured time, evening and morning. Evening and morning were the first day. We say daytime, nighttime. That's sort of our way of distinguishing between the two. And if you want to know the verse in the Bible, turn the question in some first Sunday night about where does the Bible say it's all right to use the Roman clock, which is the clock that we use. The 12 p.m. is the starting of the new day, or midnight is when the new day starts. Both times are in the Bible. I'm going to chase that one. That's all that happened. There was an evening, there was a morning, and there's the first day. Wait a minute. Well, what happened the second day? Can you look at verse 6 and give me a firm answer? Can you give me a firm answer about what happened on the second day? Now, you have enlightened me about the first day. Can you give me a firm answer about what happened on the second day? God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Wow. What do you have as a marginal reading? Have another word there other than firmament? I don't even have any check to see if mine has it. What do you have? The American Standard says expanse. See if you've got a marginal reading at all. Verse 6, marginal reading. Yeah, marginal readings, expanse. Little kids, when the kids sing the song down here, what does he make day two? What do you say? You know the song? I don't even know the song. Sky of blue or something like that. What did he do? He made an expanse. And there were waters above the expanse and waters below the expanse. I read that, I get a picture. I don't know if the visual picture I get of that is the biblical picture, but I've got a picture. I've seen the waters below that expanse. I understand wonder what that's all about. And there were waters above the expanse. Now, when the flood came, the heavens were opened. Isn't that interesting? Here's the world. Here's the waters. There's an expanse, and there's water above that. Now, some have suggested possibly that the world before the time of the flood was very much like a greenhouse. Did you call them greenhouses in England? New Zealand didn't call them greenhouses. Hothouses. Here's the glass that is above the plants that are there. And it traps inside the glass that is above there the heat and everything that allows things to grow year round. Think about the evolutionary story and about how the, where's all the coal and oil and where's all that coming from? Well, the earth used to just be covered with vegetation. Now, that denies the possibility God could have put it there. That's man's illustration of it. It was a perfect world, wasn't it? How much age were in the Garden of Eden? How much cancer? How much leprosy? Well, if you don't have heart trouble and you don't have leprosy and you don't have all of these diseases, wonder how long you'd live. Well, just no reason to die. You know, until those three men move into your house, you know, that the widow of this issue has three men living in her house. Charlie and Ben and Arthur. Charlie Horse, Ben Gay and Arthuritis. But before those things get into your house, You could live 1,000 years, couldn't you? Yeah. You stop and think about it. And they did. Isn't that something? Yes. Speak loudly now. I'm not hearing you. Yes. And I'm sure every one of us has possibility thoughts in relationship to this. I'm content just to stop right there where you know, I don't know what it was like. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. Where's that light come from? I can give you 1,000 possibilities. I just know that the earth was covered with darkness, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so where that came from, I don't know. I could guess, but there's a real difference in me guessing and me knowing. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what happened on that day. But thank you for that for that comment. But you begin looking at this, and there is that expanse that is there. And I believe it talks about the birds flying in the firmament. Yes. Verse 20, let the birds above the earth across the face of the firmament fly across the face of the firmament. There's this expanse. And then he says, let the waters be gathered together, and dry land appeared. What do you make the second day? The firmament, and he separated and caused dry land to appear. Pardon me, that's the next day. Dry land is day 3. Yes.
6 minutes.
We were scheduled to get all the way through chapter 1 today, okay? How do you like this new arrangement for seating? Thank you. Thank you for being willing to do this. I still think we would be better if we just had to sit shoulder to shoulder and everything, but some of you don't bathe, and so we decided we'd let you expand out, that type of thing. We're going to try this. You know, we really haven't given up on the idea of getting over there, but there were some complicating problems that came, and complicating problems, some not being able to walk that distance maybe to get over there, complicating what do you do about latecomers, those who come in late and everything. Here's what we want to do. We want to start learning the Bible. We're sick and tired of people sitting in a Bible class and zoning out. And so if you've been on in focus,